It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I met this little girly high noon in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, west. Joining us right now is our friend Mr. Mike Jones from The Athletic. Jonesy, what's up, dude? How you been?
How we doing?
We are doing quite well, man. Let's start here in Ashburn and zoom out around the league. The Commanders, 7-3 through 10 games, have looked really good. But now you wonder, the two best opponents they've played in the Ravens and the Steelers have both been losses. What'd you make of that Steelers game? Went down to the wire. They lose by a point, but showed some trouble spots along the way.
Yeah, down to the wire, like you said. So they were competitive. But I think that, you know, although I think that spot was bad, there still were other things that happened earlier in the game that put them in that situation that, that they shouldn't have been there. And so they had an opportunity to not even leave it up to a last second drive. But look, it's a young team. They're growing. Our expectations obviously have changed from when we went into the season. Everybody was, you know, not expecting that they'd be leading their division, and so now you're hoping that they can really go somewhere. But this is part of being a young team, learning how to win, learning how to put teams away. So they've got to work on that, a little attention to details and things like that. And so, yes, they've had two tough games against quality opponents, and now they're about to have another tough test. Basically, this next stretch they're going to have with, you know, divisional games stacked on each other, that'll really be a truth teller for them where they are, where they're going, and what the expectations down the stretch of the season can be.
Mike, how big of a plus you think Lattimore is going to be for this team?
Well, if he can stay healthy, I think it'll be a big plus for them. That obviously has been an area where they have been weak in their secondary, and you kind of have some guys who are being asked to do things that maybe they're not quite ready for. So if you throw a veteran, multiple time Pro Bowl selection there into the mix, then you kind of, you know, bump some guys down from where they are, and they're probably playing more in their roles. Instead of covering number one receivers, you got him covering number one receivers, and maybe you have a few stops or takeaways where you're getting off the field a little sooner on third downs. And so, again, if he can stay healthy, it's going to be a big plus for their secondary. It's not going to fix everything, but when you have a talented guy like that, it helps in your secondary. It also helps your guys up front because the quarterback's having to hold on to the ball a little bit longer while a guy tries to get open and away from a talented defensive back.
And then, Mike, specific to this matchup Thursday night, you know, for all the trouble Philly was having, all of a sudden they look absolutely on fire. What do you think going into Thursday night? Commanders have a ton of injuries, short week. Philly seems relatively healthy. Kind of what are some keys you're looking at in this ballgame?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. You know, Philly was taking some lumps early on because they were not healthy. They had a number of injuries, and now they've kind of weathered that storm, and they're starting to look like themselves again. Obviously, you got to look up front. You know, you've got to be effective in the trenches on both sides of the ball. That is where it all starts. You know, Philly, yes, obviously. You talk about Jalen Hurts. You talk about, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and now Saquon Barkley. But, you know, they have a pretty decent offensive line. Early on, they were kind of, you know, dealing with guys, you know, growing into their roles and then also dealing with some injuries. But now the Eagles seem like everybody's kind of figured things out and they're running the ball well. You want to be able to take the run away from them, and it's going to be hard because of Saquon Barkley. But if you can do that, you know, obviously it doesn't mean that everything you're out of the woods because they've got a talented wide receiver tandem and a pretty good tight end. But you just want to make a team one-dimensional, try to bring pressure and get after Jalen Hurts and hopefully force him into some mistakes.
Talking with Mike Jones here from The Athletic, of course, covered the Commanders, the Burgundy and Gold for a very long time, has covered the NFL all over the country. Hey, Jonesy, one specific one that I think isn't maybe getting the talk it should, that I think has been really impressive, is how good Dante Fowler has been for this team. You know, you're talking about a veteran that's been in the league a while, only, I believe, has one double-digit sack season on his resume, is on track for another one. How impressed have you been by Fowler?
Yeah, you know, it's something that, you know, coming in, you kind of wondered, okay, who's going to be? They don't really have a pass rushing presence. Who's going to be there? And like you said, he has not had a lot of double-digit sack seasons, but he is excelling in this defense with Dan Quinn. Just goes to show, look, he's got ability. It's about fit. So many times we wonder why guys aren't living up to their potential, but how are they being used? What is the understanding of the coach that is drawing up the schemes for them? And you have somebody in Dan Quinn who understands what Dante Fowler is capable of and how to put him in positions to succeed. And so, yeah, you know, he's making a difference for them. It's much needed. And, you know, we'll see if he can keep this up and where this defense can go once they start. You know, you have him coming off the edge, making an impact. You throw a lot more in there, and then they've steadily improved throughout the, you know, since the start of the season, because I was really like, man, you know, they might have, you know, good offense, but this defense can't stop anybody. Mm-hmm. But they're definitely getting better, and Fowler is making his presence felt.
We sat here, Brian Robinson, we talk a lot about him, and I know JP and I, we cover this thing so closely, and we're here all the time. But for someone on the outside looking in, how do you see this team with him and without him?
Oh, well, I think when you have him, obviously it all starts with Jaden. But when you have Robinson, it's just another threat. It's a more consistent attack. With their offense, it definitely is when it's at its best, when they're able to run the football and you're able to lean on a workhorse back that's able to get tough yards and wear down the defense. You know, and so when they don't have him, I think that the numbers show that you know, Jaden is, you know, he's still very good, but I don't think that the offense has been quite as balanced, quite as effective. And so you definitely need to get Robinson back because, you know, again, not taking anything away from Eckler, and the other guys, but they're just not him. And you have a strong, powerful, big back, and that makes a big difference.
All right, let's zoom out a little bit from Commanders-Eagles and talk about the rest of the league. Obviously, you cover the whole league for The Athletic. I'm looking at your Twitter account this morning, at By Mike Jones, if you want to follow Jonesy, national NFL writer for The Athletic. You've written, talked a lot about this Bears situation. It's a disaster. I think rolling into the year with Eberflus was a problem anyway. Right. It's a self-preservation league, so now they have fired the offensive coordinator, which isn't going to make any difference. What's going on out there? How much is this screwing up Caleb Williams?
That's the thing. It's like, you had the opportunity to draft a generational talent, and it's like you got this Ferrari, and you're getting Walmart tires and Walmart oil to run in this thing that needs, like, top-of-the-line stuff. Why in the world would you try to go cheap and stick with Matt, you know, Eberflus, who is, I mean, his track record just says he's not a very good coach. You know, he doesn't know how to evaluate talent, not just players-wise, but as far as assistant coaches go, because he hired Luke Getsy to be his offensive coordinator, and they fired him, and everybody thought that Justin Fields was the problem, and Justin Fields goes to Pittsburgh, and, hey, he's with an offense that understands how to ease pressure on him and not ask them to do too much, and he looks like he's okay, and they're, you know, 4-2. So maybe
does get benched, though. I think the passing is still a problem with Fields.
But I'm just saying, like, you are able to mask some of that stuff. We saw in Pittsburgh, you know, they were able to be more successful and run a balanced offense because they understood, okay, here's what his limitations are. Let's put him in this situation to kind of ease some pressure on him. Whereas in Chicago, they were like, well, we don't know what to do. Let's just have this fool run around the field a whole lot, you know, and see if that works. Now, you get another offensive coordinator, who might be the one branch off of the Shanahan disciple tree that doesn't know how to direct an offense and build it around a young quarterback and ease pressure on him. Because Shane Waldron must have been asleep in class the day that they said, hey, the run game is a young quarterback's best friend, because they tried to put way too much stuff on Caleb Williams instead of, you know, think about it. The Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, any of those guys, Kevin O'Connell, you know, they run the football, they move the pocket, they get the play action attack involved. And the defense, is there's a little bit of hesitation because you can't just pin back your ears and go after the quarterback. Well, they're having Caleb Williams throw 30, 40, 50 times a game, and he's holding on to the ball too long, and he's trying to scramble and be Superman. When it's like, dude, get the ball to your hands quickly, quick reads, run the football. And they weren't doing any of that stuff. And so now we'll see if Thomas Brown, who was in the, you know, in L.A. under Sean McVay, see if he can help bring some more balance. He's a former running back himself. See if he can help a little bit. But basically, Caleb Williams is going to have to start all over again. I don't see how they bring back their head coach. They need, you know, wide sweeping changes. And then he's going to have to learn a new offense. And we know when a young quarterback has to start all over again, and learn a new language, learn a new way of doing things, it can be a struggle. So we'll see what happens, but it's disappointing for him, but not at all surprising, considering what, you know, the track record was there. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Well, let me ask you this question, though. But this offense is ran by Caleb basically checking and doing everything from the line of scrimmage. I've seen this over and over again. So what are they going to do, take that away from him? Because that seemed like something he likes to do and want to do, but I don't see his receivers being very happy with him because he doesn't do anything on schedule. So will the offensive coordinator change all that up?
Hey, remember the way they started the season? They would not let Jaden Daniels throw the ball any more than like 5 yards downfield. It was like, quick, get the ball to your hands. They were keeping him on a leash as they brought him along. I'm not saying that Caleb Williams isn't smart enough to recognize what a defense is going to go, but you're too young. Kyle Shanahan doesn't even let veteran quarterbacks make a whole lot of changes in his offense because he's like, get to the line, run the play, snap the ball for the defense is set, let's roll that way. You can't have a rookie quarterback calling basically his own shots and things like that. It's way too much on him. And then, as you see, he's holding on to the ball. He's trying to scramble and trying to outrun everybody. This isn't college. You can't outrun these 325-pound defensive linemen anymore. And then, like you said, the wide receivers are frustrated. So the new play caller is going to have to rein him in a little bit and be like, hey, you've got all the ability, but we've got to simplify here. You know, we're going to take some off your plate so that way you have less to think about and you can just execute and operate and see if we can run this thing on schedule. It's not might be something that he wants to do, but it's probably the best thing for him right now.
It's interesting. We're talking with our friend Mike Jones from The Athletic, and I know on a personal level, maybe not when the Bears came to town, but Caleb's a local kid, Gonzaga, grew up in Bowie. Like, I want him to find success because whether he deserves it or not, he's become kind of polarizing and all these things. Doesn't look like it's happening. A place where I enjoy the opposite of success, the spectacular failures they seem quite capable of producing, is Dallas. How big of a mess is what's going on down there? And is this as bad as you've seen it in some time?
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't help the injuries. You know, it's unfortunate what happened to Dak. But I felt like Jerry Jones made a huge, huge mistake in sticking with Mike McCarthy as his head coach when he had proven that, okay, maybe you'll win regular season games, but when, you know, the game's on the line and you need creativity, you need some, you know, variety, he doesn't have a counterpunch. And that's why the Cowboys underachieve. And now here you have this year where, you know, everybody's got the whole playbook on them, and McCarthy was not able to evolve his offense. And, you know, they neglected the running back position. All just bad decision-making all around. And so, yeah, this is the bet that Jerry Jones made for himself, for his team. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, probably 2 years ago when Sean Payton was available, that's when he should have fired Mike McCarthy after they wet the bed in the playoffs, you know, and they should have gone a different direction. But they did not, and here they are paying for it right now.
Well, where do they go? Because I would think that any coach with any kind of, like, status and wants authority, Jerry won't want them, and they won't want to deal with Jerry. So right. What is he going to do this time?
Yeah, that's the big question, because I don't know who's going to want to go there. It's not going to be Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is not going to stand for Jerry Jones giving press conferences after every game before he even talks. That happens. Jerry Jones talks before the head coach talks. You know, that's just not going to work. And if you were the head coach, now we did see Jerry Jones. He kind of, you know, gave over a little bit of control when he had Bill Parcells, but I still just can't see Bill Belichick wanting to get in bed with that. And so I don't know. He's hired a bunch of yes men ever since, you know, Bill Parcells. And so he's probably going to have to find somebody else that's willing to deal with the circus. And, you know, I don't know. Is Jerry Jones happy being competitive? Because if he's competitive, they're still selling tickets. They're selling jerseys and everything. But does he really, really want to win a Super Bowl? Then if you do, you take a backseat and you let somebody else run the show. And I don't see him doing that.
See, Jonesy, you're supporting my theory. There's three types of NFL head coaches, guys that get these jobs. There is the schematic mind, the guy that's just going to have the best concepts and wow an owner. There is the people mind, like the motivator, like the Dan Quinn, like building this brotherhood, that type of mind. And then there's the third type, which is just the pigeon of ownership or management, just the guy that has to do what is told to do because that's how you get the job. And clearly in Dallas, you have to be one brand to take that gig.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had the opportunity to hire Marvin Lewis, you know, who had a lot of success in Cincinnati. You know, I know they never got over the hump there, but they were a disaster before he took them over, and they were consistent and competitive. He did not hire him. He hired Mike McCarthy. He stuck with Mike McCarthy far longer than he should have. And so, you know, Mike McCarthy's happy to be there. Jason Garrett was happy to be there. He's probably going to find somebody else who's happy to be there.
Jason's still smiling.
Yeah, exactly.
probably got a head coaching job 6 years longer than he should have.
Mike, you hear all kind of things around town. And like this is the second time this go-round of Shador and Deion going to Dallas.
Oh, boy.
Okay. You have anything to amend it or to dismiss it?
I don't know, but nothing would surprise me that would be just so Jerry, so flashy. You know, it would, you know, I did say that to my boss just the other day when she was like, man, like, you know, now we got Cooper Rush. I said, hey, this is the perfect plan. Keep tanking for Shador and Deion. Now, again, I'm joking. I have not heard anybody say that. But again, it wouldn't surprise me at all, you know?
Oh, my Lord. They're not tanking. They're just getting their ass kicked.
Right, yeah.
Let's be real.
You know,
let's be real about
lining,
that.
You know?
Yes.
Hey, Jonesy, last one. Who's the best team in football?
Kansas City Chiefs, man. They are not.
Got to be, right?
It doesn't matter what the odds are, they find a way to win, you know, and it wasn't luck that they blocked that kick. I have seen
That's
a
Dave
lot
told,
of field
baby.
Goals. Did you watch a lot of those field goals this week? And every week, the guys are always trying to go over the top. Well, they blew up the base of those guys on that one side, and they bowled them backwards, and the second wave came through and blocked that. That was schematic. That was fantastic execution. And their defense is better than what it's ever been. Their run game is better than what it's ever been. Passing game isn't as explosive because they don't have the field stretching wide receivers to do it. But you've got the most clutch playmaking quarterback in the history of the game, maybe. You know, we'll see. You know, in a great offensive mind, this team is just as battle-tested as any team you'll ever see. And so, yeah, my money is on the Chiefs against anybody.
I mean, How much do you think John Mara wishes he just let Steve Spagnuolo get a real chance to coach, man, the Giants when he blew that staff out?
But Dave Tobe knows how to attack you on special teams.
Well, and I'm going to make my second linebacker reference that I wanted this organization to draft. It was N'Kobe Dean was one of them. Leo Chenal was the other one who actually blocked that kick that the Chiefs took in the third round. Jonesy, thank you, man. How's Delaware? Jay, everything
appreciate
good?
Appreciate you, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Mike Jones, right there. Ooh. From The Athletic. Give him a follow at by Mike Jones. Does a great job covering the whole league. We always appreciate him making time for us.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.